Speaking today with Diane Troutman, who is the candidate for Harris County Tax Assessor. Diane, we spoke before in March when you were in a contested primary for this office. But let's ask again, why are you running for this office?
Well, same reasons. That hasn't changed. It's ethical leadership. Those two words really define the why of it. There are several other factors that go into it. I believe that this office is a huge public trust. And so you are registering people to vote. You are accountable for their taxes. These are important things. And so it's a delicate balance. I do not believe that you should inject partisan views into this. So this is something I want to bring different to this office. I want to run it as a service organization rather than a political organization. I want to develop a more user-friendly voter registration system, one that will provide access to all our taxpayers and residents, and do outreach. We'll provide more outreach that's being done. I think we can improve, and that's why I'm going to run.
Okay. Obviously, the primary we had in March, broke all kinds of records for participation. Democrats coming out of the woodwork, or people coming out of the woodwork to vote in the Democratic Party in the primary. What has your campaign been doing since then to, take advantage of that excitement and, all the new people showing up on the voter rolls?
Right. Definitely going from Tomball to Clear Lake, from Kingwood to Crosby, just making the rounds all over the county at the Democratic clubs, but also I'm a member of American Business Women's Association in Humble, and as a member there, I can visit all the other organizations all over the county, and I think there's about 20. There's also an association of all of these business women's groups that I'm attended as well. I'm also attending local Chamber of Commerce meetings. And those have been very welcoming, very instrumental in letting me talk to property owners about problems that they've been having, problems with being registered to vote, or questions about how you check your voter status. So it's really letting me get a little bit of a feel for what the job would be like and the questions I might get by doing all over the county type of campaigning. Also, with the coordinated effort, we've been opening a number of offices, campaign offices, through the coordinated effort all over the county. And I opened my own office in Crosby just this last weekend that I'll be sharing with the coordinated effort. And at each one of these openings, we have had quite a crowd, quite an interest, and people signing up to volunteer. So yes, that momentum, I believe, is still with us. A lot of people have worried, how do we keep it going? Will it keep going through November 4th? But from what I've seen, absolutely. And there's more to come. There are several, I think there's at least two or three more countywide coordinated offices to open, and so with each one of those you really see it growing, and I think that's great for the candidates too, because we need to feel rallied and cheered up too, and when we go to these all of us come away just so excited and pumped. So I think that's where we're at right now.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about voter registrations. That's one of the functions of the tax assessor's office. There's been some articles recently in the Chronicle about the emphasis that the current office has more on purging voter rolls of ineligible voters than on doing voter outreach, or I can't off the top of my head think of any program that the office has done to try and register new voters. That tends to fall to volunteers and to the Department of Public Safety when people do their vehicle registrations. What is your vision for doing voter registration outreach as tax assessor?
Well, I think we've got to do much more than we're doing now. And when you say outreach, by the very definition of the word, you're reaching out. You're going out to people. You are not just in your office hoping that people will come to you, such as in the downtown office or the annexes or anywhere else. I think it's certainly got to start with looking into hiring more than one deputy voter registrar. I think that's something that needs to be done. But the outreach itself has to go where the people are. Now, the people aren't necessarily all going to be at one community organization. So if you say, well, I sent out a person to this community organization and to this community, well, unfortunately, not everybody goes to these. So you've got to go where the people are. If you've got to go to the Walmart parking lot or the Kroger parking lot or wherever people congregate, even in lower income areas, that's what outreach has to be. And I think outreach has to be to our youth as well. That's the face of the future. They are going to inherit what we have right now, the government that we have right now. So we've got to get them into the process, the sooner the better. So I would propose partnering up with schools, trying to see if we can get deputy voter, getting our maybe assistant principals and administrators deputized as voter registrars, doing some kind of congratulatory letter with their diplomas that they get. It should be a rite of passage, an expected rite of passage, where when you turn 18, when you graduate from high school, you're also expected to be a part of our country now. And that is in voting, and that is very important. So I would definitely want to do outreach in that part, in the schools. Also, I think it's pretty important to do voter registration drives, and not just once or twice a year right before the registration deadline before an election. I think that's what's currently being done. It's got to be done year-round. Once or twice a year, obviously, isn't working, because we have what? Approximately 75% of our voters, eligible voters, registered. So we've got to do a little more. We've got to go a little above and beyond. We can't just sit back and say, okay, we sent out a few people, that's it. What I see now is that we're not encouraging voter registration. And by not encouraging it, we are discouraging it.
Okay. Current office holder, Mr. Betancourt, takes pride in his office's ability to, to clean out the voter rolls, or clean out people on the voter rolls who are not eligible. Some people argue that he's a little too zealous on this, and that it artificially deflates the number of registered voters. What's your take on this?
Well, I think that there is a law here that does require, there's a legislative requirement that you have to purge. I believe right now it's every other year, but it really is whenever the Comptroller's Office, or Secretary of State, actually requires you to do that and you get notice of that. So it is, a legal procedure that you have to adhere to. However, if somebody is on the suspension list or the purge list, simply because you don't have a box checked for over 18 and you do have their birth date right there, how hard would it be to make a phone call? How hard would it be to assign a group of people a special delegation just to do that, just to put them on little tiny things like that, that would save a whole lot of work down the road for people wondering, why am I on this suspense list? Many times people don't know that. Again, I go back to, it's so important doing outreach to let people know how to find out if they are registered or not. Just the other day, I was at a group of retired teachers, and they didn't know how to check. So I showed them online how easy it is. Just go online. You can see what your status is.
Well, another way that people wind up in the suspense list is if they move within the county to another precinct or whatever. Apparently, and I think a lot of people may not realize this, you have to fill out a form informing the registrar that you have moved. And if you don't, you're on the suspense list, though you can declare that when you vote, generally speaking. One of the things that has been reported, though, is that the notice of a suspended registration tends to be sent to the voter's old address.
Mm-hmm. With no return address.
Right. So, you know, I mean, it's kind of a simple question. What would you do differently?
Again, I think you've just got to use some common sense, practical sense here. Is that really what we want to do? Do we just want to keep them off the list? Or do we want to devise a system that will be more user-friendly to them? Perhaps have some kind of online system when you move. The simplest way is simply to do more outreach, marketing, public relations, about notifying people when you move and you change your address on your driver's license. You can also do it on your voter registration at the same time. The DPS office where you do that, it can do it at the same place. So that's the easiest way. But it must not, the word's not getting out because people don't know that. I still find people all the time who do not know that if you move, you have to change that and fill out that little piece of paper. So there's got to be more outreach is the first thing.
Okay. Now, of course, the main function of your office is tax assessing and collecting. The Harris County Appraisal District has been in the news quite a bit lately. There was a dispute between them and the comptroller over the appraisal levels. Mm-hmm. The comptroller's office said, you know, property should have been appraised at a total of about $107 billion. HCAD had it about $96 billion. That dispute was eventually resolved, so the crux of it being that the tax assessor's office took into account protests that lowered people's property tax evaluations. Do you have any comment on this?
Yeah, this is an issue that would resonate with me since being a former educator and current educator. I feel it's really important for school districts to get a fair shake on the amount of state funding they have coming to them. And that was pretty much at the heart of the issue here with Houston ISD. I would work for fair appraisal process for everyone, commercial and residential. I think that's important, that everybody knows there's going to be a fair and equitable appraisal process. One of the problems is, I'll just tell you, this morning I was at the legislative hearing for the House Committee on Appraisal Reform. And Charles, I'll tell you, the one thing that I heard again and again is from property owners, the public testified, no one is on my side. There's no one I can go to. So one thing I want people to know for sure is I'm going to be a voice for residential property owners. That's sad. They feel like, and they even said, I'm afraid, I have a fear of going because I know it's not going to come out. It's going to come out in their favor. In fact, I may even be worse off. There's such a distrust there. So I think, wow, we really need to do a lot of work, public relations and marketing, and doing outreach about the Harris County appraisal protest process. It just seems like there's a lot of frustration there with property owners. Back to the Susan Combs thing, that was just weird. I think even Rick Casey's article was titled More Weirdness. Why would Susan Combs, you know, continue to doubt HCAD's appraisals and, you know, Houston ISD, what their appraisers had too, when even her own, Susan Combs' own appraiser himself, Michael Esparza, came out on the side of HCAD. So that was just weird. I'm not sure. It did end up that they settled, I think, at 97 instead of 110. But I don't think it's over. She said in a year, if HCAD continues to undervalue some properties there in the district, that penalties would be assessed.
Well, of course, the crux of the issue there is that at the higher rate, HISD would be forfeiting some money from the property tax collections under the Robin Hood law.
Exactly.
you know, so kind of, you know, kind of, I think it, I see it as kind of a prisoner's dilemma, because mm-hmm. unless other counties are doing, you know, unless other counties are doing the same thing that the controller wants, that money's got to come from somewhere. You know, what can your office do to help make sure that not just Harris, but everyone, that, you know, the counties around the state are really paying their fair share, and so that each mm-hmm. school district gets its fair share?
Well, and that's just, you know, again, that's beyond the scope of this office to address. I mean, you can certainly go to these legislative hearings like this today. John Otto, the chair, was saying, he was asking people as they testified, what do you think the solution is to a fair funding, to a fair taxation system? People were saying, you know, this tax rebate that we got was supposed to be $2,000, wound up being more like $200, and now with the 10% appraisal increase, you know, we're not seeing any relief at all. So I don't think people are, again, people are just frustrated. They're very frustrated. And in the Harris County tax office, that person, that the tax assessor, actually sits on the board, but is not a voting member of HCAD. So there's not a whole lot you can do. You can certainly make it known, be a voice for taxpayers, but I think probably the biggest thing is just to let people understand how to protest their taxes, how to, you know, get out there and, you know, do something that's going to make a difference for their property values.
Okay. You've spoken about ethical leadership in the office. What does that mean in the context of the tax assessor's office?
Well, I think we've all read about one story too many about inappropriate officeholder behavior and ethical challenges in county government. So for me, it's what I teach. Ethical leadership, the three A's of ethical leadership, actually. Accountability, accessibility, and authenticity. And in the tax office, of course, you must be accountable every day for the taxpayer's money or how it's spent. Also, you need to be accountable for how you spend your time. I mean, if you are running a service organization and providing services and doing all that you should be doing, I don't think you're going to have time to run a radio talk show or to tell the legislature how to run their business. So I think it's very important to do the taxpayers' work. You're working for them. It's that servant leadership idea. Accessibility, that's what I was saying about outreach. You have to provide access to all the services and resources provided by the tax office. I think, again, this can be done by outreach to the voters, to our youth, also outreach to our veterans. There are several exemptions that veterans qualify for, such as the deferring your taxes for active servicemen and women while they're on duty. In fact, one serviceman actually was sued by Harris County Tax Office for not paying his taxes while he was on active duty when he came back. Well, they realized their mistake and dropped the suit. During that time, the serviceman was so upset about it, he checked to see how many other servicemen knew about this exemption, and only 20 had applied for it during the whole time. So that shows, again, we need a lot more outreach about the accessibility of the tax office. You know, what are those resources and exemptions that we can be taking advantage of? The last A is authenticity. We have to run an authentic office. I believe that people are tired of, you know, corruption and people that don't tell the truth in government. So I think what they're looking for is government they can believe in. Again, I talked about that public trust. You know, it's so important. Once you lose it, it's hard to get back. And I believe with some of the stories lately of inappropriate officeholder behavior that people are doubting county government. They want someone authentic who will tell them the truth, who will do the job they're elected to do, not, again, running off on getting into other people's business. And that's it. So those three A's, I think, will be very important to bring back to that office.
So when people go to the polls in November, how do you want them to think about this race?
I want them to think that I am the best person for this position because I have the administrative and leadership experience to run a large organization. With my banking experience and my education experience, I've been an administrator and a leader in both of those careers. I also want to provide more outreach to all the services and resources provided by the tax office, and I want to bring back ethical leadership to county government.
Diane Troutman, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Charles.